call the joint meeting of the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic and the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism and Arctic to order. I'm Senator Lisa McGuire, the co-chair here. Senator Kathy Geisel will be joining us later. And I will go ahead and introduce Senator Stevens is here today from my body. We also have on the committee Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, and but they will be joining us later. And then I'll turn it over to my colleague, my co-chairman, Representative Herron, to introduce his members.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. It is good to be here. Appreciate the Penwar delegation and our special guests from our Canadian provinces that have joined us. And the members of the House Committee on Economic Development, Tourism, and Arctic Policy include members here at the table is Representative Adam Wohl, Representative Kathy Tilton, Representative Dan Ortiz, and Representative Louise Stutz, and then the superstar in the back, if you'd please stand, Representative Craig Johnson.
And, my neighbor.
And also not in the room yet is Representative Sharice Millett. And we look forward to, again, this Penwar presentation.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. It's nice to have so many new members here. I just want to, as we welcome our Penwar delegation, let you know that you've got four new members that have been sworn into the House of Representatives. So we're very excited. This is their, I think, probably first committee hearing. We're close to it, huh? One of the first committee hearings. So we welcome them especially. So the Pacific Northwest Economic Region is near and dear to our hearts. It's a creature of state statute. There are many organizations that we belong to, National Conference of State Legislatures, Western State Legislature, et cetera. But Penwar is unique in that it is a regional group. So it's two countries that have come together, the country of Canada and the country of the United States, on a regional basis, provinces and territories in our region, the Pacific Northwest, and then the states in the Pacific Northwest, to talk about areas of economic development where we can share best practices, learn from each other, reveal our hiccups in many cases, and then hopefully govern better. The really unique thing about Penwar as well is that it is a public-private group. So at the table in all of your committees, the Arctic Caucus being one that Representative Herron and I have chaired, you'll have private sector members as well. And that's an interesting perspective. Often we find ourselves public policy making in a vacuum. And it's really been a joy to be a part of this organization and have the shipping companies and have the hydrocarbon companies at the table to reflect back on whether or not the idea that you think is such a great one about how to incentivize their industry, regulate their industry, may not be so great or may be great based on their actual experience working in different places. I want to say a special thanks to Matt Morrison, who's the executive director. I'm going to introduce the delegation, but Matt is one of these quiet public servants that serves our two nations, really, in bringing together public policy leaders and private sector leaders on a variety of cross-border issues, homeland security issues. The Keystone Pipeline certainly has been one. The effort to have a more secure North American energy policy. But he leads very quietly from behind, and he's 22 years, has it been? Right in that ballpark. It's been two decades of leading this particular organization. So I welcome Matt. He'll be a lead of this delegation today. I want to welcome here in the back Alana DeLon. She is an MLA from the Calgary region. She is one of our Alberta resources, and actually, as many of the lawmakers here have gone through the tax code changes, Alana has been a huge resource. I want to say thank you. That's one of her areas of expertise is in resource management, and we've learned a lot from the country of Alberta, and I thank you, Alana, for being here today. Next is Colin Smith. Colin is right up here. He is the Penwar Private Sector Chair of Workforce Development. and the co-chair and past president of APEG from British Columbia. So we welcome Colin here today as well. We also have David Kettles. David, where are you? David is also back over by Alana, again, part of this international delegation. He is from the great province of Alberta as well. He's the director of U.S. Relations, International and Intergovernmental Relations for the government of Alberta, and worked with David for many years, and thank him for being here. We also have Samantha Patterson. Samantha is back over here. She's a policy analyst, director of policy and planning for the Department of Economic Development for the government of Yukon. So we've got a Yukoner here in the room. We welcome you, Samantha. And finally, coming back here closer is Steve Myers. He's a program manager for PENWAR, and he's Matt's right-hand guy. Pretty much wherever you see Matt, you see him. And I introduce these people to all of us to let you know that beyond today and the hearing that we have, they're a resource for you. For the new members that are here that I highlight, and I welcome my co-chair, Kathy Giesel, Senator Giesel, that this group is a resource for you. And there'll be issues that you go to take on, whether it's a mining perspective, whether it's a hydrocarbon issue, a zoning issue, et cetera, where you may want to look to other places to find out how they've done it. Our Yukon neighbors, our Alberta neighbors. And Matt Morrison is one of those guys that you can reach out to. He's got a wealth of information, research that's already been done, a lot of research that's actually been done through federal grants on homeland security and all kinds of things. So I just mentioned that. I'm going to start by just stating that our next gathering of our PENWAR group, and my hope is that as many members of this joint meeting can join as possible during Energy Council. And again, Energy Council is always, it's one of those things where we have to sort of gauge what's going on here, how many of us can travel or not. So we make no promises, but it would be nice to see some members here join us. For the last 3 years now, when I was president of PENWAR, I started what's called the Arctic Caucus, and that was before we had our Arctic chairs here and so forth, committees. And it was a vision that our two countries could work together, leading into the chairmanship of the Arctic Council. Canada has had that now from 2013. They'll pass the torch to us the end of April here in 2015. The United States will take it from April of 2015, going then through April of 2017. And we have held in Washington, D.C. meetings in the Capitol proper, down in the basement, with Lisa Murkowski, Don Young, Congressman Don Young, and then former Senator Mark Begich. They've been fruitful. Kathy, you've been a part of them. Other people here, Bob, you've been a part of every one of them. I think, Craig, you've been to a couple of them. They've been fruitful. We've outgrown the space, and frankly, the issue has outgrown that room. And so what I'd like to do is publicly invite all of you here and those who are watching. On March 5th, we'll have a televised hearing in the United States Senate with our senior senator, Lisa Murkowski, who's the new chairwoman of the Senate Energy Committee. And this was a vision that I had to bring up, again, out of the basement quite literally, but bring the issue of the Arctic, bring the issue of Arctic energy up in a way that Senator Murkowski can profile how valuable Alaska truly is as we look to these Arctic issues to the rest of the nation. So she is excited to introduce the resources in the Chukchi and the Beaufort, the potential for shipping routes, ANWR, of course, is an issue, the National Petroleum Reserve of America, all of those kinds of things will be a part of what we do, and we'll have our Arctic meeting at that moment. So that's what I wanted to just simply start with, was an invitation to do that. Of course, Matt will talk probably more about all the different PENWAR meetings there are. There's an annual meeting, a summer meeting, and a winter meeting, and he can tell you where those are. But this is one that's really important for Alaska, and one where it will be televised, and we'll get a chance to highlight our senior senator, her work, and hopefully get the rest of the country to see the Arctic, why we're an Arctic nation, not just as a sort of, oh, that's an Alaska thing, but rather this is an amazing opportunity for the United States of America. And as we go in and chair the Arctic Council, look at the vast reserves, the resource development opportunities that are there, and quite frankly, look at how well Alaska has done in developing them in Arctic infrastructure. So with that, I turn it to Matt Morrison. to lead us through the rest of the presentation.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. The last 3 years, I think, have been very successful in bringing together not only congressional leaders, but also the U.S. Coast Guard, the people in charge of icebreaker planning, both the Canadian and the U.S. Research Commissions on the Arctic Research Commission, and as well as the Canadian Research Commission. And as a result of our first meeting, we were able to encourage them to meet together for the first time and then to have a decision to have annual joint meetings, which have taken place. And it's the kind of thing that we like to see happen out of a forum like this, real action items that actually bring us closer to the priorities that Alaska has for the Arctic. We have always had Ambassador David Balton, who is the lead from the U.S. State Department, as well as Julia Gourley, and the Canadian lead as well. So at these forums, it's been a great opportunity to hear Canada's experience and how they prepared to lead the Arctic Council. And of special note for Alaska has been the fact that they reached out to their three territories in the Arctic and said, what do you think the priorities should be for our leadership of the Arctic Council? And then we heard from the premiers that not only did they consult with them, but they actually followed their advice and came up
outstanding
with priorities that matched the people in the north. And they, the government of Canada assigned a First Nation leader from Nunavut to be the chair of the Arctic Council for the past 2 years, Leona Aglukkaq. And so we, as a result of the last forum in Washington, D.C., then we also worked together with the Center for Strategic and International Studies this September, and we had a roundtable with 150 participants in Washington, D.C., where we had two of the premiers and, again, Admiral Papp and all of the State Department people who heard the same story. Here's what Canada did to decide what priorities we would bring forward in the Arctic Council. And I think what's been great is the partnership between Canada and Alaska. We're totally in sync. They get it. The Canadians are, all the issues are the same. And so it was so refreshing to hear Canadian federal people say, our number one priority is the people who live there in the north and the economic stability of our communities and being able to increase livelihood of the people who live in the north. And we're hopeful as, we have just 3 months here before the big show when Senator Kerry will take over as the U.S. lead of the Arctic Council on April 25th. And this March 5th date, which we now have, Senator Murkowski has reserved a hearing room for 12:30 to 3:30 on that date. We're hopeful that we can bring Admiral Papp and Ambassador Balton and our Canadian leaders to talk about why Alaska's priorities, especially identified by the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission report, are significant and should be recognized significantly in the U.S. leadership of the Council. But we've also learned from the Canadians, from the people really on the ground in the Arctic Council, saying the best way to move things forward is to get involved in the working groups that the Arctic Council has and to make sure your priorities are voiced there, because the Arctic Council is has little budget, and it, whoever shows up has a big stake in
what actually happens. So we're learning about that, and I think that's a really important piece. Anyway, on this first step, I think that it's going to be a great opportunity. Everything is set. We're creating the agenda, but we want to really make it an opportunity for the AAPC to be front and center. And then later in the agenda, we'll talk about what are the opportunities between now and April 26 that Alaska can get the authentic northern voice to the rest of the country. I mean, the problem is that we'll have a lot of interest in the Arctic, but they'll go to Washington, D.C. to ask them what's happening. But Washington, D.C. hasn't been that great at being able to express the authentic voice of the North American Arctic. And opportunity to collaborate with the Canadian North American Arctic. I'm looking way beyond the next 2 years. It's really, how do we craft a North American Arctic vision, a North American Arctic strategy for our northern peoples? And that's really the goal of this conference, not one moment or one event. With that, I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So at this point on our agenda, we have a discussion about how we capitalize on the Arctic Council transition in the spring. So we've set the stage. That will be at the end of April. We've talked about the March 5th meeting, and I'm going to turn it to my chair on the House side and then to my co-chair on the Senate side for their thoughts. Representative here.
Thank you, Senator. Before I thoughts on the transition, this is the first meeting of the newly named House Special Committee on Economic Development, Tourism, and Arctic Policy. And, of course, as the Senator has said, there's four new members in the House majority and two minority members that are not in attendance that are going to learn a lot about economic development, tourism, trade, and Arctic policy. So I'll have to echo what the Senator said, is PENWAR is a valuable resource, just like CGS West and NCSL, the PENWAR group is about our immediate eastern neighbors, Canada and all the provinces and territories over there, and how important our interaction is. And so this is the first meeting in this session. Next week, the committee on the House side will meet and we'll have a discussion specifically on Arctic policy at that time. On Arctic Council transition, it's going to be in Ottawa and Iqaluit at the end of April. I think what Alaskans over the next several weeks, I've already had conversations with both Senator Gieselin and Senator McGuire about our strategies from the Alaska legislature. So the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission was created by recommendation of the Alaska Northern Waters Task Force. And what the true intent of the commission is for the legislature to educate itself so that it can think Arctic, because we can't separate Alaska from the Arctic, and the Arctic cannot be separated from Alaska. And so the legislature had to find its own footing. And with my colleagues and 23 other Alaskans, Senator Stevens was on the commission as well, is that we believe we have found our initial footing, and that we can work with our federal government and with private sector to responsibly develop our resources and to have our home protected. So what I think that what the legislature should do is to engage in a conversation with the Arctic Economic Council, which was created by the Canadians, And interestingly enough, it's Alaska enjoys the largest delegation on the Arctic Economic Council because of the four permanent participants, the indigenous groups that are part of the Arctic Council. So should we the legislature, and specifically these two Arctic committees, should engage with the Arctic Economic Council, work with them. We should interact with the permanent participants, those four permanent participants, the Aleuts, the Arctic Athabascans, the ICC, spacing out on the last one there, but that the legislature, regardless of the executive branch, should interact with them. Obviously, our dialogue over the last 2 years by the Arctic Policy Commission and the State Department has been spirited conversation. We've constantly had to remind them about talk to us, and we should continue that effort. Now, the governor last night, he mentioned the Arctic Council chairmanship for the U.S. coming up, and that there's going to be approximately 20 meetings, probably 15 of them in Alaska. And so Alaskans, but the legislature and the executive branch, in my opinion, need to form a host committee. We want to make sure that when all these visitors from around the circumpolar world come to Alaska, it's not completely facilitated only by the State Department. And so I think that's what we need to do. And staying with the governor is, of course, he announced the cabinet post appointment of Craig Fleener. We have already had good conversations with Craig, but we need to fully embrace that. Tomorrow there will be a coordination meeting with Craig Fleener and Kate Wogelmuth, who is the deputy director for the governor's office in Washington, D.C. They'll be here tomorrow. And so that is going to be our first interaction officially from the legislature in this new, in the 29th legislature, with the executive branch. And finally, I think that on January 30th, the members of the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission are going to deliver to the House and the Senate, to the legislature, our report. And I'll just end my comments with this: is that in this report, we've set up an implementation plan. We're asking the legislature to do these certain projects. We're asking the executive branch to consider the projects that we've outlined that we think are appropriate by the executive branch. And most importantly, we have outlined projects for our federal partners. And so we believe that it's a very good product. And it's a starting place for us to, as the Arctic committees, but the legislature, to think Arctic, because, again, we cannot separate the Arctic from Alaska. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Senator Giesel. And welcome to Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. You know, last night in my email, I received a series of radio ads from an organization, an energy-focused organization in the Lower 48, urging Americans to focus on the Arctic, urging our federal government to focus on the Arctic. And I know that these ads were well-meaning. However, they never mentioned Alaska. So they asked me for my opinion. Of course, I listened to them, and they're great, but you know, they were pointing out that the United States is an Arctic nation. They forgot the rest of that phrase, because of Alaska. So that was my feedback to them. I haven't seen what their response was, but we have to step up our game. And as we make this transition onto the Arctic Council, we can't let the federal government run the show. I don't want the federal government more involved in the Arctic. We have enough concerns about their involvement in Alaska already. So I don't want D.C. or environmental extremists leading this charge in terms of Arctic Council. I want authentic Alaskans there. So I've been very thankful for the leadership of my colleague, Senator McGuire, and Representative Herron, as they've brought the Arctic Policy Commission forward. My part of this, of course, on the commission was the oil, gas, and mineral resource section. And I think that as this transitions, we Alaskans need to make the world aware that we actually live here and that we make our living here. And we can continue to support ourselves through our resources, through the responsible development of them, and that by doing so, we can actually establish our own fate, so to speak. We are not victims. We're actually independent individuals that know how to work and use our environment in a positive way, protecting it as well as utilizing it. So this transition time, I think it's going to call on us to be vocal. And again, I believe the two co-chairs of the commission that has been going forward have done a great job of raising all of our awareness. Now all of us need to raise the awareness of our colleagues so that we're on board. I like the idea of having that host committee made up, again, of authentic Alaskans who can genuinely showcase our state, all of the aspects of it. As a lifelong Alaskan, I don't like ever seeing a division between the rural side of our state and the urban side. We're all Alaskans. I had a wonderful conversation yesterday with Lieutenant Governor Malott and brought up these issues, and he said, you know, he said, I believe that Alaska is the Arctic. Alaska policy is Arctic policy. And I was thrilled to hear him say that, because that's what I believe too. There is no separation. We're all one state. So as far as the transition, I think it'll just call on us to be a bit more assertive.
Okay. Senator McGuire. There you go.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Madam Co-Chairwoman. I really appreciate your comments and your leadership. I'm going to make a few comments, and then I'm going to turn it over to our other two members of the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission that are here in the room, Senator Gary Stevens and Senator Donnie Olson. And so just for people who might have just joined us, or we throw out acronyms a lot. So AAPC is the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission. We have a website, akarctic.gov, that has all of the reports on there. There was this is a creature statute. There are 26 members, 10 of them legislative, 5 from the Senate, 5 from the House, and the other 16 were public members, subject matter experts in a variety of areas. We formed subcommittees. Kathy has told you the areas she worked hard in. These two gentlemen can tell you the areas they worked in, but wonderful group. We traveled the state far and wide to go, you know, as far as Barrow and down to Unalaska to prove what Senator Giesel said, which is Alaska as a whole is an Arctic state. So the things that are happening in the Arctic are impacting Unalaska in tremendous ways. And yet when you look where they're located on a map, one might say that's not where you would stereotypically define as the Arctic. And so our commission was able to really, through our travel, hone in on the fact that all of Alaska is Arctic and everything affects us. I want to mention that David Guttenberg is online as well, and I'll offer him a chance to comment. I just have a few things that I think. The first is, of course, continuing what we've done. When Representative Herron and I first approached the federal team, the White House team, they were on an accelerated course. Some of you have heard this, but just to put it on the record for the public, an accelerated course of action implementing what they were calling the White House Strategic Arctic Plan. And they were ready to roll that out in June. We were successful in getting them to delay that and to work with our policy commission then for the whole of this last year. So I would say that's one success we've had. Their policy went from, I've described it, and it really isn't an exaggeration, as one that didn't mention people at all. It talked about the tundra, the changing climate, ice flows, polar bears, et cetera, but didn't mention our people. And so in the very first meeting in June in Barrow, it was easy to just sort of say, you guys have really got to go back to the drawing board because we're people. We live right here. This is about us. So I would say the most important thing that we have to do between now and April the 23rd is continue that forward pressure on the federal government. And it requires all hands on the deck. It's very strategic and very savvy, as you know, when you are trying to influence these reg writers. There, you've got the State Department that's involved at the highest levels, of course, the Secretary of State. You have now Admiral Papp, who's been appointed to be the sort of head of the Alaska issues. He is open for and receiving comments all the time. And so I'd encourage all Alaskans listening that have an opinion to certainly weigh in via letters, and all of us here as lawmakers to take that on as a particular duty between now and the end of April. What do we want to see happen with this chairmanship? Number two, the idea of a host committee. Bob and I have talked about it. I think it's absolutely essential. When you think about other visits that we've had, one example would be the Secretary of the Department of Interior. If Alaskans don't get a chance to control those visits, they might not see Eisenbeck Road the way we see it. They might see it through the eyes of environmental groups or other groups that are steering them in a direction. So I think it's really important that we have a host committee made up of private sector and public sector people that will be a resource for the folks that are coming in for these hearings, that Alaskans show up and testify, that lawmakers show up and testify the way that we have on all matters Arctic in the past. I also think working with the executive branch is very important. In our Senate committee, we'll have Craig Fleener come in as well and talk about the work he's done. Bob and I got an occasion to spend some time with him in meetings a couple weeks ago, and he's of a very similar mindset. And so I think combining the executive branch and the legislative branch now, that's going to make us all the more powerful. The rollout on January 30th, I think, is really important, and I want all members to have that opportunity. I'm hoping we'll do a big press conference, but that, you know, for example, in Golovin and in Nome and areas in Kodiak and so forth, that this is an opportunity to communicate with our constituents and to really make it clear that this is a chance also to weigh in at the federal level. What we're doing is we're arming our federal delegation as well and supporting and augmenting their work that they're already doing to make it clear that to the extent the federal government is going to be involved, it's not all about global warming and it's not all about ocean governance, which are two of their major priorities. It's, in our main point, about economic development for the people of the North in our state and the opportunities that it can bring to change the quality of life for Alaskans. And how we adapt to climate change is certainly a part of that. But the idea that somehow climate change will be solved in 2 years looking at Alaska as a locked-up model is not something Alaskans are interested in. So I just would like to emphasize I'm happy to meet with anyone of the members that's watching that wants that. I know Bob would, Kathy would, and any of you here to catch you up, to let you know who the federal actors are and what they've said. But I can just tell you that at this moment they have come out with three policies, global warming being number one, number two, ocean governance, meaning the mapping of the Arctic Ocean for uses, specifically marine sanctuaries, whether they'll allow fishing or not, etc. And the third, that is literally at the bottom of the list, is economic development. Our friends from Canada who are here, and we're going to open it up so that people get a chance to talk, as you heard, took a dramatically different viewpoint. You had Stephen Harper appoint a premier from a northern region, from Nunavik, and then tasked her with going around to northern communities alongside him to assess what the goals were, and you came back with a northern vision, and it was Arctic development for the people of the Arctic. So that's our challenge, is how do we get as much as we can from our Canadian colleagues, our friends, between now and April the 23rd, and then once April the 23rd happens, how do we just keep pushing, showing up at meetings, putting the Alaska face on everything to make it very clear that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for all of us. This is the next hundreds of years of our destiny here in Alaska, and we don't want further impediments to that. So with that, I'd like to turn over to Senator Stevens and then to Senator Olson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I just like to make a cautionary note, and I really appreciate the efforts that both Senator McGuire and Representative Herron have made as a chairman of our commission. They both did an excellent job, and I learned so much and so much more than I knew before about the Arctic, and you've just done a great job at that. I guess my concern, as I expressed at our commission meetings, is what happens now that the commission is over, and we're going to give our final report here on the 30th, I believe, and in fact didn't go away. That's what happens with commissions like that. So here we are in a new world where we have a House committee, a special committee, and a Senate special committee, and I think it's just really important that, and I know the House committee has other responsibilities in the Arctic. You have economic development, you have tourism. The Senate committee that we're seated on, the special committee, is just the Arctic. I just think it's just crucial that we work together. I think Senator Giesel's comment about stepping up our game is absolutely right on, but it only works if we are together. And if we, as a House, go one direction, as a Senate, go another direction, we're going to be questioned, or we won't be, I think, become divisive, and that's the last thing I want. I don't think it's going to happen between the co-chairs and the chair. I think that'll work out. But we do have to pay attention to that. You know, as you mentioned Kodiak, and though I'm not an Arctic citizen, I'm close. And as a part of the state, it's really important to me what happens in the Arctic. So anyway, just a cautionary note, the governor or the president in his speech talked, as you pointed out, about global warming and acidification, very, very important issues, but he did not talk about the people. And that's one thing we have to focus on. So thank you. Appreciate being on the commission and appreciate being on this committee, too. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I certainly appreciate your focusing on what's going on here, because I think we have to, you know, having lived up in Barrow for the last 5 years and having been there for a longer period of time, it's one of those things that we need to start focusing on what's happened, because things are changing. People's expectations are changing. The activity is changing that's up there. We need to be able to keep up with that change. And nothing exemplifies it more than who the people that are there. As was pointed out by you, Madam Chairman, is that if your kid is sick, or you got your parent that has a heart attack laying on the ground here, and you don't have a road to get them on the Eisenbeck over to Cold Bay, you're in a completely different category than some theoretical person who's never been to Alaska, and voting on issues that are near and dear to our hearts. And so that's why I like to focus there. The people are there. They are the ones that are most affected, adversely or otherwise, depending on what we decide here. And so I appreciate you doing that. And I want to thank you for bringing these people here that are you know, representing Canada. Because we are, you know, with the barrels up in the 71st parallel. Having been to Ellesmere Island, you know, they've got the high Arctic up there as well. And so they've got particular expertise and insights that we don't have. Of course, they're in a different regime, necessarily. And we don't necessarily agree with them. The Prince Rupert carried a ferry terminal, but it's one of those things that always work things out. And I think that's the beauty of having somebody that's next to us that can understand and also be here.
Fantastic. And then I'll just go to David, Representative Guttenberg, who is also on the commission, to comment as well.
Thank you, Senator. This was a great commission. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This was a great commission to participate in. And all the work that we did. My focus on the commission was chairing the security side of it and realizing how much work that the military, from the Coast Guard and the Navy and all of the components, you know, when they sit at the table, and Jamie Robinson was phenomenal, he and Harry Bader from the university who participated from D.C. Just have an amazing knowledge of the Arctic and research and the things that they are already putting in place. And I attended a briefing last month with the Secretary of the Navy, where the university was explaining to them how much research we're doing. We are ahead of the world in Arctic research. But with all the changing Arctic environment and all the potential in front of us, what people said was significant. What Donnie said, what others have said, is that it's the people that are there are the ones that are that clearly understand it the best, and we have to make sure we don't leave their voice out, because like many Alaskans, if we're not loud and we're not front and center, we get run over, and that's the concern I've heard for many of us. We need to make the play and be in front and center, and I think the Arctic Commission made a great effort in creating a document that hopefully the legislature will seriously look at and put us front and square and center in developing the Arctic policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Guttenberg. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your service to the commission as well. Okay, so now we're going to turn to the draft white paper on... Oh, before moving to Matt, are there questions by committee members? Okay. So this is the draft white paper on the Arctic, and I think Steve is going to present it.
Correct. Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. This white paper was developed through the offices of Representative Herron, Representative McGuire, and the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, with a focus on looking at the economic development issues, and a lot of you have outlined already today the importance of focusing on the people. Also included in this is input from Yukon and Northwest Territories. They've agreed that it's important to have a unified voice when it comes to what they've gone through as far as the Canadian leadership and working on economic development in the Arctic. And what this white paper intended to do is bring a stronger voice, a more unified voice across North American Arctic, and you know, present it to our U.S. federal leaders on Arctic policy. So one of the things that we were hoping to get from the committee today was just a recommendation on when you think it would be good to release this white paper. I know a lot of you have probably had time to review it, but it's going to be distributed through PENWAR to our region and then also beyond our region. And so we were hoping to see if you have a recommendation if it should be released around the same time that the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission report is released, or if you had any other comments on that.
Well, that would be my recommendation. I'll turn it to other members to see, but I think you know, because it has the reference to the AAPC and much of the work that we talked about there in infrastructure and security and other matters, resource development, I think it's perfect timing. And that's a 1-2 punch. That also elevates the exposure of our report out to the members. So that'd be my thought. I don't, other thoughts?
Steve, appreciate that offer. Of course, many new members on the House committee. The Senate enjoys significant tenure on this issue, but I would recommend as well that PENWAR go live at the end of the month.
Perfect. Any other counter thoughts?
Significant tenure is a nice way to say that we're a lot older than you guys. So.
Do you like that way of phrasing it? Okay. You'll come up with your own names, I'm sure, in the lounge. Okay. Well, so anything else? I think we've decided that then. So that sounds great.
No, and one other thing I did want to add was I wanted to mention our Beaufort Regional Council concept that we've kicked around the Arctic Caucus for a year now, and the idea was to bring more of a focus in on the private sector since Alaska does enjoy...
Can I interrupt you? Do we have that flyer that you have in front of you?
I think it's actually right behind.
Let's make sure we distribute that. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Steve. Just keep going there.
So the concept with this council was, again, integrating more of the business focus into it, and also looking at companies that might not even be in the Arctic, companies that work in our region in Washington State that, you know, have a role in the Arctic or have, you know, infrastructure in the Arctic, you know, what they can do to make sure that, you know, that the people part of it is also included into this broader discussion on the Arctic economic development.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I would just add that this we had a two-day meeting as Canada was launching their one of their number one priorities as the lead of the Arctic Council was, where is the role for the private sector in Arctic policy development, and what role do they play with the Arctic Council? And
after a lot of work, they came up with this idea of an Arctic Economic Council, which they have launched 6 months ago. And in a meeting in Yellowknife, we had private sector leaders discuss this over 2 days, and they, I think, came to the conclusion that having an Arctic Economic Council was fine, but when you have 8 countries and observer countries, what's really needed is more close to home, and that we share a lot between Alaska and Northwest Territories in the Beaufort with issues. And we had a presentation from the Barents Sea Regional Business Council, which includes 4 countries, and their model was quite developed. And so that's how this idea came about, was something like this would feed into the Arctic Economic Council, which includes the whole circumpolar Arctic. And when you get, you know, to actually begin to deal with things on the Chukchi and the Beaufort, some collaborative opportunities would be helpful. So that's the background here.
So just to tag on to that for our new colleagues on the House committee, is that PENWAR and the Arctic Caucus, we've been talking over the last few years about how Alaska and our eastern neighbors, specifically the Yukon and the Northwest Territories, but also British Columbia and Alberta, is how we have so much in common, and how do we move resources across the borders, across Providence borders, across our common border. And so there was conversations about corridors that will go to the Arctic and from the Arctic back down. And so the Barents Council has been around for 20 years, and they're very sophisticated. But the Beaufort Regional Business Council concept was about how the 3 jurisdictions, and including Alberta and British Columbia, is how we can get private sector more involved in our regional economic development. And so just sort of a little history about how this has evolved and the great potential that it has.
Okay, any other thoughts on the Beaufort Regional Council? Anybody? Okay, next I have Senator Giesel to talk about her thoughts on the governor's transition report on the Arctic.
Just cursory thoughts, and then maybe just to announce that it's out there and remind us about it.
Right. The transition committee reports are available on the governor's website. Actually, I will tell you that I received this yesterday, looked it over, and when I met with Lieutenant Governor Malott, he actually wasn't sure this was the transition committee's report.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, because it was so well crafted, he thought, because the citizens that had been on that transition team, of course, didn't have a lot of time. As I looked at it, I'm hoping that we'll be able to talk a bit more with him, focused on the actual economic development that we've just been talking about. That is, how citizens in rural communities can access more economic development, more jobs locally in, my emphasis always is our resources, but those resources aren't just oil, gas, and minerals. It's fisheries. It's tourism. I think with the U.S. taking over Arctic Council and Alaska stepping up to the plate, we're going to have a lot more interest in tourism coming here. The report that we're handed out here, to me, echoes a lot of the federal focus on climate change and things like that, which certainly we have to deal with here. Certainly. I mean, here's Anchorage with practically no snow, though I understand they're getting a dump about now. But this is pretty late. Yeah. So we do know that there are cyclical changes in climate, and that's why people groups have moved around the world. But we still have resources we need access to, many of them on federal land, and that's why we became a state, because we could support ourselves with those resources. I look to Northwest Arctic Borough. Wow. They're going great guns there with Red Dog Mine and that partnership with NANA. Great example. I see that you call it out here in Penware's white paper. Thanks for doing that. I think it's a great example of private sector joining with a borough and the Native Corporation to create some real economic viability. And that's, again, what I would like to see a bit more as we join with the governor, taking our AAPC report and collaborating with the executive branch on a final product and a policy.
Good. Good thoughts. Any thoughts? Anyone here on the committee that's had a chance to read it? Okay, so we just commend that to you in your Arctic binder to read and to make those conversations as you see fit as well. But I thank you for that overview, Senator Giesel. Okay, next on the agenda I have the discussion of Matt's idea to do a governor and premier's roadshow on the Arctic. So tell us a little bit about that. I know you've talked to us about it, but there are more members here that have not heard it.
Well, Premier McLeod from the Northwest Territories has been a very active Penware member, and I guess I think it was at the September CSIS when we started talking about this idea. And then the premier, well, we also had the premier of Nunavut there at the time. And the Penware winter meeting in November in Seattle, also Premier McLeod was there. And all of his press, he had a whole team of people there. And he is very keen on taking the message of what they learned in the last 2 years and how Canada led the Arctic Council with northern input, and made the offer that if Governor Walker would be willing to go with him, he would take the time. And, you know, he's suggesting like Chicago, Houston, New York, Washington, and let's have an authentic northern perspective and just get it out to the public. So that's the idea. He's committed up to 2 weeks on his calendar to do this in late March. He's ready to go, and I think he's already talked to the Premier of Nunavut. And you know, we were expecting Premier Pasloski to be here today,
yes,
but he's postponed his visit for 2 weeks, but he will be here in 2 weeks in February. But we'd like to entice Governor Walker to take 2 or 3 days and do an intense, we think we could help set up some significant meetings and get a lot of press about the authentic view of the North, and it could really help the dialogue. And Representative Herron, I think you probably have maybe something to add.
Of course, Senator O'Brien and myself met with the governor in Anchorage before we came down here early in January, and it was just a summary for him of Arctic policy and get to meet him as the new governor. And so we brought up the concept of a roadshow, northern latitudes, northern governments with the highest elected official to go to Seattle, Houston, Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., very high profile, and express to both private sector and governments that Alaska, the Yukon, Northwest Territories, Nunavut, but the Penware family of province as well, that, what are we, the eighth largest economic region in the world? We're people. And so the governor was very receptive to it. Of course, right now he's drinking from a fire hose, and it's the timing's not right now, but later here in the next few months, it's be appropriate.
especially with the U.S. taking over the Arctic Council chairmanship, excuse me. So, again, the governor is very receptive to the idea. We just need to get the premiers and the governor to talking at their level. And the message, at least from the legislature, we'd very much support that.
Well, our president this year is Premier McLeod's right hand man, Dave Ramsey, and they will be one to initiate the conversations, and they are willing to commit resources to set up meetings in those cities. And I just think the theme is, you know, the new frontier, the North American Arctic, or, you know, that's help us with that, you know, the messaging. And if from both your committees you can help come up with the types of messages that you think could really be captivating to the American public, this is a great opportunity.
Excellent. A reality show?
Senator Stevens.
Well, timing is everything, and Alaska governors usually don't like to leave Juneau when we're in session. For some reason, they don't trust us. You know, so that might be a month too early if it could be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Valid point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. We end on the 20th of April?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So something to keep in mind.
But again, I think it's very important that we are very supportive of the premiers and the governor making this decision together, and not it's obviously it's if they want to do it, then it'll be very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I have did we handle the round table on North American Arctic Marine?
Yeah, I don't know if everybody got a copy of this.
Yes. Okay. So this is Steve. Yep.
Thanks again. Just to give you a real quick overview on this, PENWAR is partnered with the CG Group, which is the Center for International Governance Innovation, and John Higginbotham.
Oh, yeah.
And so this session is going to be held next week, actually, Thursday evening. There's going to be a dinner. The Barents Council's executive director is going to be at the dinner and give a briefing on how their organization works and what what this region might be able to learn from what they've already been going through over the years. And he's also going to give a little bit more of a geopolitical perspective on what's going on in the North Barents area. And then we'll go into a larger discussion about these corridors that Representative Herron mentioned earlier, the importance of how you identify these, the discussion for the federal government in Canada in particular, what their strategy might be going forward with the knowledge that, there are these infrastructure projects that are coming online, which ones are the most beneficial for the region and how you prioritize those. We're going to have a contingent from the group that's heading up the Canadian Strategic Plan for Transportation, part of the Canadian Transportation Act. And there's also going to be representatives from here in Alaska. Captain Ed Page is going to be available to talk about the automated information system management system they use for ships offshore. One of these examples where Canada could learn something from Alaska. And so the hope there is that the Canadian transportation folks will be able to see how that tool might be able to use in their waters as well. Okay. And then we're also going to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the Arctic Caucus and going forward, and we'll have a short little meeting there at the end of that day. But this is going to be next week, and there'll be a report from this meeting that we can share with everyone here. And I'm just going to kick it over to Colin then for the discussion about the Canadian Transportation Act.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, for the privilege of saying a few words to you. And before I get launched into a few words that I do have to say, I just want to thank all of you for your hospitality in receiving our delegation again this year. And it's a very busy time for you as you start up your session. And as a private sector representative to Pinware, it's a particular privilege for me to be able to join along with the legislators and sit in on the conversations with yourselves as legislators. And we have very open and frank dialogue, and regardless of whether we're public or private in those meetings. And that really is the power of Pinware, as many of you know. Just building on what Steve was mentioning, the national responsibility for transportation in Canada is, there's a federal responsibility, and it's under the Canada Transportation Act. And periodically, a statutory review is required, and that was most recently, the current review was launched in June of last year by the Minister of Transport, the Honorable Lisa Raitt. And she's appointed a blue ribbon committee that's headed by a very eminent person, the Honorable David Emerson. And they've been going across the country seeking input from the private sector, from all concerns. And they're looking at everything from railroads to marine transportation to highways, and looking at what are the infrastructure needs, transportation infrastructure needs for the nation of Canada for the next 10 years, with a view looking even beyond that. The meeting that Steve mentioned coming up in Vancouver at the end of the month, next week, is will provide valuable input into that policy formation. And specifically, this meeting on marine transportation is of vital interest to Alaska. And we're delighted that Ed Page and others are going to be able to participate in that meeting. Because as the Arctic, as economic development takes place that we've been discussing here during this joint session, means that shipping is going to come from Canada and the lower 48 around Alaska into the Arctic to Yukon and Northwest Territories, and the opportunity for cooperation in the management of all of that marine-based transportation really is one that would only work well if it's jointly done. And there's been ongoing discussions between the Canadian and American Coast Guards. The work that Ed Page and his group at the Alaska Maritime Institute are doing is absolutely world-class, leading-edge tracking of vessels that actually is built on a Canadian software platform, so we're working together. But we saw a demonstration yesterday, and they are tracking in real time every single vessel that's in the waters. And before a vessel is able to transit the waters, they have to file, just like an aircraft, they have to file basically the equivalent of a flight plan. And if the vessel in real time is deviating from that flight plan or its vessel transit plan, coming within the pre-agreed distance from shore, they get an immediate message, you're off course, correct, or the Coast Guard's going to come and find out why. And it's phenomenal. And this they're tracking every one of your fish boats, and it's all there. And so from a search and rescue, from an environmental protection issue, it's just phenomenal stuff. And it's going to be critically important, particularly as resources are developed in the north, that those kinds of enhancements continue. And so this meeting will bring together very senior people from industry and from government. And so the work of this meeting will certainly inform that. And we're delighted that it'll be kicked off by the head of the Barents Euro-Arctic Caucus or Council. And again, we're building on experience that the others have had. And as you know, the four European nations have worked together over the 8 years that they shared the chair. And so what we're talking about here between Canada and the U.S. is really following on their example, and it's the opportunity is golden for us to take advantage of it. So we're delighted that Alaska will participate in that meeting, and the report back should be very informative to the work of your joint committee.
Thank you very much. Questions? Thank you very much. Okay, well, that is all I have on the agenda. I wanted to open it up if there are any final comments from members. I see the freshmen, their heads are about to just pop off, right? They're just going to go at some certain point. Well, again, thank you so much for flying in every year. Thank you to all of you that have come from far and wide, Alana all the way back there, and David. Thank you all of you. We appreciate it. We thank you for the service that you you know, give to us as a legislature as well. And thank you to all the members, particularly our new members. We look forward to working together. And Bob and I have worked very well together, both in Penn, we're co-chairing, and then last Carter Policy Caucus. So I take wisely the words of Senator Stevens, and I think it's very important that Kathy and I continue to expand on the relationship we started at AAPC as we had these two committees. And so I hope we meet more often jointly, maybe in a better room. We could kind of work on that. And I'm supposed to tell you there's a box lunch. Is that correct?
The Penware lunch is...
Penware lunch, and is it the other room, or we're going to open this up? It's going to be right here. So
but
if anybody would like...
don't go away, because we have a special announcement.
Okay. Yeah. During the lunch?
In the next moments.
Okay.
As soon as you're done.
Okay. Okay. As soon as we cut the mic. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So we're adjourned.
We're adjourned, but don't leave.
Yeah.